Brilliant. Well, it's so, so good to be here and to see lots of familiar faces, also some new faces in the last 9 months as well. And on behalf of the other pastors, and especially on behalf of Sean and Paula, I just want to really welcome anyone who has made their home here in Family Church in the last 9 months. It's really good to meet you, some of you today already, and I'm sure some of you after the service as well. But come and say hi, and we love people, and we love being around, and we love our church family. We love what God's doing in every one of our six congregations here in the UK and our one congregation in Manila, Philippines as well. And it's such a blessing to be part of what God's doing, isn't it? And on that note, the trainers that I'm wearing today, the Air Force Ones, these ones belong to Nathan Grant. I don't know if he'd worn them much before he gave them to Elliot, my son, but Elliot's been wearing them for the last year or two. And then Carla the other day polished them up because she was going to sell them on Vinted. And I was like, what are you doing, Carla? I think they'd fit me. And actually, Elliot said, why don't you try them on, Dad? Much to Carla's disappointment, they fitted me. So I now am the proud owner of these black and white Air Force Ones. Thank you. And but as I was thinking, I was looking down at them this morning. As I was thinking about that, I thought, actually, they've been repurposed, haven't they? Repurposed. And I think, actually, that's a message that God wants to speak into someone's heart today. Just listen carefully. I believe that God wants to repurpose some lives today. You thought you were done. You thought you were finished. You thought God had finished with you. You certainly thought people had finished with you. But I believe God wants to tell you into your heart today that He wants to repurpose your life. That the purpose that you thought you were living for, things didn't work out as you thought they might. But God wants to tell you today that He has a greater purpose for you. And maybe things haven't worked as you expected. Maybe you made some mistakes on the way. Maybe you tripped. Maybe you fell. But you know what God says? He says, come on, time to get up now. Take my hand and walk with me. Walk with me. And as I preach this morning, I pray that every person here, you will hear the heart of the message that I want to share this morning, which is, come to me. These are the words of Jesus. And He says to each one of us today, come to me. So what I'm going to share today, I've got a scrap of paper here that I'm going to just open up a little bit. what I'm going to share today starts at summer camp, the youth summer camp that I enjoy going on every year because of how youthful I am. Amen. And when we were there was a young lad that was really struggling, and he was really in a place of pain and fear. And I think it was the second night, and God really spoke into my heart, and He gave me a picture for both this young man, but also for the young people at summer camp. And this was a picture of a birdcage. I'll show you the picture later on. But this was a picture of a birdcage, and I felt that God was saying that this lad, but many other young people as well, were trapped in this birdcage. And that God wanted to release them from all the things that trapped them to fly free into the good things of His kingdom. And I think the cage represents the world. The bird is your life. And we're going to kind of center around that picture today. But what happened the next night, this young lad was prayed for, actually by Pastor Sean. But it doesn't matter who prayed for him, because it was God that was doing something. This young lad was prayed for, and he said he felt pain and fear drop out of his life like two sacks of potatoes, and he was delivered. He was set free from all that captivity that he'd been living in. And it was dramatic. It was incredible how God moved in this young lad's life. And then I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, actually, I think in my life, there's still some things that trap me. There's still some things where I don't feel like I'm fully free, where I don't feel like my heart is fully free. And I really felt God say to me, use this picture and speak to me personally as well. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So at salvation, this is what I believe happens. I'm just going to move this a little bit forward so I can come and stand over here. There we are. Hope that's okay. That's probably not okay for the cameras. I'll go back again. There we go. So at salvation, what happens is you put your faith in Jesus, right? That's what saves you. It's your faith in Jesus and the grace of God that saves your life. It's not according to your works, but it's simply according to that decision you make to repent of your sin and to believe in Jesus. And so your life is saved. And what happens is the birdcage door is opened wide. You are set free. Amen? You are set free the minute you put your faith in Christ. You've been living in that birdcage of this world, all the stuff that holds you in captivity, all the stuff that traps you. You've been living in that, but the moment you put your faith in Christ, the door of the cage is opened and you are set free. So why then are so many Christians still living in the cage? Why are so many of us still affected by the things of this world and still trapped by so many things? Why are so many of us still living in captivity when the door of the cage has been opened? Some of us don't even fly out of the cage, but many of us, you know what happens? We fly out into the freedom that God's given us and then we fly back again because it's familiar. It's things that we're familiar with, the birds that sat alongside us on the perch. We want to go and hang out with them again. The seeming safety of the cage. We don't know anything else, so we fly back to it. The provision that we have before we came to Christ, the things that fed us and watered our lives, we go back to those things. But you know, true freedom isn't going back to the cage. True freedom is flying free of the cage. You know, when an animal is set free from captivity into the wild, they run and they enjoy that freedom like you've never seen before. And that's what God wants for each and every one of our lives. Amen? The thing is, there is an enemy, isn't there? He's called the devil. And he wants to keep us trapped in the cage. He hates it when Christians get free, because when Christians are free, we can do the things that God's called us to do, and we can take people with us into those things. The devil hates it, but Jesus came to set us free. He came to give us life in abundance. It says in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Jesus says, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures." And that always reminds me of Psalm 23. You know, he's the Lord who's our shepherd. This is what he's talking about here, who leads us into green pastures and causes us to lie down in those places. Verse 10, "The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Amen? That's the purpose of God for your life. He wants to be everything that satisfies you, and nothing in this world can possibly satisfy our lives. I don't know if any of you have realized that yet, but when we were praying before the service, Sean shared the verse from Jeremiah. You know, God said, there's a problem here. You're going to the cisterns that are broken, and you don't find what you need at those cisterns. They're broken. They hold no water. Come to me, Jesus says. I'm the fountain of living water. Jesus stood up at the feast, didn't he? He said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Another time he said, if anyone's hungry, let him come and eat from me. Because he is the bread of life and he's the water of life. Amen? So he is the only one. He's the only one. And we sing that song, don't we? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It says, break into the wild and don't be afraid. And I think that's what God wants us to do. It takes a lot to step out of what you've always known. to step out of the birdcage, doesn't it? It takes a lot. It takes faith. It takes courage. It takes trust in God to not just get to the door and see the freedom that he's got for us. A lot of us do that, I think, and then we go back to the perch. But actually, it takes a lot to step out of the cage and to live in the freedom that God has for us. It takes faith in him. Jesus has provided for us true freedom. That freedom is peace. It's rest. It's those green pastures that we're talking about. It's walking beside those living waters and coming to him, the fountain of living water. And the key, please hear me today, church, the key to living in the freedom that Christ has given us is to walk closely with Jesus. And there is no other way to live in that freedom. And I'm really just learning that now. And I want to walk closely with Jesus, closer than I've ever walked before. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30 says this. This is Jesus speaking to a crowd filled with religious people, Pharisees, religious rulers. And Jesus says this. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you..." Pardon? "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, Jesus was speaking to these people. He was known now as a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish teacher. And as Jesus spoke about his yoke, what he was referring to, every rabbi had a yoke, and it was their set of teachings that they were known to stand for. And Jesus says this, he says, "My yoke, the teachings that I bring to you, is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is because when you come to Jesus, his acceptance of you is not based on what you do. It's not based on your works. Amen? When you come to Jesus, you don't find one who is harsh and judgmental and legalistic. You find a Savior who cares deeply for you. Come on. Jesus cares deeply for you. He has such love and compassion for you. You come to one whose heart is gentle and humble. This is the only place in Scripture that Jesus describes his heart. He could have used all sorts of words, but he uses these two words. "My heart is gentle and humble," gentle and lowly. Why did he choose those words? Because he wants us to understand the heart that he carries for us. It's gentle and it's humble. And when you come to Jesus, you come to the one who is described in John chapter 1 as being full of grace and truth. Not just a half measure of grace and truth, but Jesus carries the fullness of grace and the fullness of truth. That's who we come to when we come to Jesus. As your life is impacted by the gentle and humble heart of Jesus, you will want to get as close to him as you can. Amen? You will want to get close to him. You want to walk with him. And you will want to learn from him. It's kind of a three-step process. And it starts with coming to him. Come to him. And then when you come to Jesus, walk with him. And then as you begin to walk with him, you will learn from him as long as your heart is humble and as long as you're open to hear what the gentle and humble Savior has to share with you. And of course, the picture that Jesus is painting, he's talking about farming here, isn't he? He's talking about the oxen. And Jesus is saying, "Come to me. I'm the wise, mature, strong ox. I have done this over and over again. I know what I'm doing. So come and yoke yourself to me. The yoke was the wooden coupler that would join the necks of the two ox, the older one and the younger one. And Jesus says, come to me, connect yourself to me, join yourself to me, walk very, very closely with me, is what Jesus says. And he says, as you do that, you will find rest for your souls. You will find true freedom. True freedom. I think you will agree with me that a person whose soul is at rest is someone who has found true freedom. Amen? True freedom is knowing God's peace in the midst of a crazy world. True freedom is having a soul that is at rest when things are kicking off, when you don't understand what's going on, but your heart remains at rest in Him. And Jesus says, not only is my yoke easy, so come and couple yourself to me and walk with me, but, you know, in every season, whether it's daytime or nighttime, Jesus knows what He's doing. Amen? He knows what He's doing, no matter what the season, no matter whether you feel like you're going through a nighttime season of your life or a daytime season. And then, when you walk with Him, your burden, the things that you're responsible for in life, the things that you're pulling along or carrying in life, your burden becomes light. The stuff that you're responsible for, the stuff that once weighed you down, suddenly you can handle it in a new way. Because Jesus, you're walking with Jesus. Now here's some more pictures for you. Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. It's what we've built our welcome home course on. And the picture is this. So we're talking about come to Jesus, right? And the picture is the lost son who has wasted his life coming back to his father. And as he comes back to the father, who, by the way, is looking out for his son. And as he comes back to the father opens his arms up and he runs towards his son and he embraces his son. Jesus says, come to me. I want to embrace you. I want to hold you tightly. I want you to know my heart of love for you. And not only that, I want to pour my grace upon you. I want to give you a robe to wear that represents your righteousness. I want to give you shoes to wear that represents that you are part of my family. I want to give you a ring to wear that reminds you that we're in covenant relationship with each other. And by the way, I want to sit you at my table where you can feast. Come and sit at my table. Come and hear me share at the table. Come and bring what you've got to the table and let's feast together. Isn't that a wonderful picture of grace? Because do you know how much the Son did to earn that? Absolutely nothing at all. He just stepped into the grace of the Father. But I'll tell you what, once he was sat at that table, the Father could then share truth with him. The Father could then say, right, son, you know, I'm going to help you to get this right in your life. I'm going to help you make good decisions, good choices about your life. And I just think that's a wonderful picture. You know, relationship with God, it always starts with His grace towards us, His favor towards us, based on nothing that we did apart from accepting Him. Isn't that wonderful? And here's another picture. See, this grace that God has poured out towards us is also seen in John chapter 8. When the woman who was caught in the act of adultery is dragged by the religious, legalistic leaders and thrown at Jesus' feet. And they say the law says that we should stone her, put her to death by stoning because of what she's done. So Jesus, of course, he takes a moment and he says this incredibly wise things. Okay, so those of you who have no sin, you cast the first stone. Woo! What grace. What grace is shown towards this woman? And they all wander off, and then it's just her sat at his feet. And he says to her, so is no one condemning you? Then neither do I. That's the grace of God. You know what you've done. I know what I've done. Yet I stand before God completely free, completely loved and accepted by him. Like, how amazing is that grace? That's amazing grace. And then Jesus says to the woman, now. See, Jesus is full of grace. and truth. And Jesus says to the woman, now go and sin no more. And of course we see through the Bible that she begins to walk with Jesus, and she learns from him by walking with him how to live life in a way that pleases God. But it starts with grace. So I believe, going back to the birdcage, that coming to Jesus and encountering his grace is the key to living in freedom. So in John 8, verses 31 and 32, Scripture says this, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word. Okay, so just pause there, because that sounds very technical to me, but it's very relational. So if I'm talking, what's my word? It's you being in hearing of my voice, isn't it? So you've got to be close to someone to be in the to be able to hear their voice. But not only that, Jesus says, abide in my word, live in my word. So hear what I've got to say and live in it. Let's walk together. Come close to me and I can speak to you. So he says, if you abide in my word, and we understand, of course, that our Bible, the scripture, is the word of God. It's the very thoughts and the intents and the logic of God in written form, just as Jesus is the very thoughts and the intents and the logic of God in human form. So you come to Jesus, you come to the Bible, you live in his word. So that talks about having a relationship with him, a relationship with the Bible. And he says, if you do this, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. How do we know the truth? By abiding in his word, by coming close to him, by hearing what he's got to say. Amen? Okay, we can all do that, can't we? And then he says, so that makes you my disciple. It's not hard to be a disciple of Jesus. You just have to come to him and walk with him and learn from him. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Yeah, it's also tough because you have to take up your cross and you have to deny yourself. But you will want to do that when you come close to Jesus. Yeah? And he says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. That's interesting, isn't it? Because I know other versions use different words here, but in the New King James, it says the truth will make you free. So this speaks of a process. So when we come to Christ at salvation, the door of the cage is opened. We have been set free. But as disciples who are walking with Jesus, we are being made free. That means we're learning to live in the freedom that Jesus has given us. Amen? Let me say that again. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are learning to live in the freedom that Jesus has given us. And I want that to be my number one goal, is to be a disciple of Jesus who walks closely with him and learns to live in what he has for me. That freedom is amazing. It's God's will for you to be free to fly. Colossians 1:13 says that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The door is open. The door is open. Jesus said in John 3, you can't see, you can't encounter or be part of the kingdom of God unless you're born again, unless there's a change in your heart. So the minute you put your faith in Christ, your heart is changed, the door is open, and you can fly into the freedom that God has for you. It's the will of God for you to live in the freedom of his kingdom. It's a wild kingdom. You're not in captivity anymore. You're in the wild when you're in the kingdom of God. You step into a wide open space and it is awesome. And it's a bit scary and it's a bit unknown. But God wants us to live in the wild of his kingdom. Amen? Praise God. So like the young ox that we spoke about in Matthew chapter 11, why don't you attach yourself to Jesus and don't leave his side? That will bring freedom to your life. You will be made free as you do that. Like the prodigal son, why don't you run into the father's arms, the father's embrace, and don't let go? Amen? Like the woman who was caught in adultery, why don't you throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and walk with him and learn with him, and don't get up, don't leave his feet until you know what he's got for you. And like a young eagle, you're a young eagle today. Just turn to the person next to you. Tell them, you're a young eagle. Not Igor, eagle. You're a young eagle. You have been set free from the captivity of this world. Everything that traps you, everything that has trapped your heart and caused you to not live in true freedom, you have been set free. Amen? Like a young eagle, fly out of the cage and plant yourself under the golden eagle's wing. Because I will tell you, when you are under his wing, you go where he goes. Amen? You go where he goes. When you're yoked to the wise, strong ox, you go where he goes. And that's what it's all about. It's simple being a disciple. We just have to be close to Jesus. Can you show the picture on the screen? That, you know, the moment that you step out and begin to fly free, the golden eagle swoops down and takes you under his wing. It's scary taking that first step, isn't it, sometimes? Say, I'm not going to be captive anymore. I'm going to step into the wild of God's kingdom, the freedom of God's kingdom. This was drawn by the young lad that was set free at summer camp. Isn't that amazing? That he saw what God had done in his life. The devil hates it when you get free. He wants to keep hold of you. But Jesus came to set you free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. I'm nearly done. Psalm 63 verses 7 to 8 says this. It says, because you have been my help. Oh, I love that. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. You know, the shadow of his wing. We go where he goes as we tuck ourselves in. My soul follows close behind you, and your right hand upholds me. Under his wing, you go where he goes. It's not really about what you can do. All you have to do is take that first step. And you have to start flapping your wings. Flap your wings. For goodness sake, flap your wings. But as soon as you start flapping, as soon as you step out, the golden eagle comes alongside and says, come here. Let's fly together now. Let's fly together. And at times, he'll let you flap a bit. And as you grow stronger, you'll be able to flap a lot more. But every time you need his protection, every time you need his strength, just tuck yourself under his wings. Because it's what he has done. It's about stepping into what he has done. Last scripture today, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31 says this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Whoa, that's good to know, isn't it? That God doesn't faint and he's not weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men, like me, shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We could just change that to those who come to Jesus, those who walk with Jesus, those who learn from Jesus shall renew their strength. And this is what's going to happen as you walk with Jesus closely. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint in Jesus' name. That's what God has for you. He wants you to launch yourself out of the cage. Today, I believe that God is going to continue his work of helping you to live in the freedom that he has given you. I'm not going to say he's going to set you free, because that already happened when you said yes to Jesus. You are set free. But God now, he wants to help you to live in the freedom that he has given you. How? Draw close to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He wants to help you. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never walked with him before, you're not a Christian yet, well, today you can say yes to Jesus. It's such a simple thing to be accepted by Jesus. You simply put your faith in him. You simply say, yes, Jesus, I believe that when you died on the cross, you took my wrongdoing, my sin upon yourself. You paid the punishment for it, which means that I am now accepted by God. And I want you to know today, you have always been loved by God. Can anyone agree with me there? You've always been loved by God. God's always had a plan for your life. But you cannot be accepted by him until you say yes to Jesus, until you accept that Jesus was the sacrifice that was given in your place. You cannot walk with him until you say yes to him. You cannot experience the freedom of his kingdom until you say yes. Amen? Praise God. That cage door will remain closed until you say yes to Jesus. So I want to pray a prayer right now and just invite every one of you, please say this prayer with me. Say it out loud, and we're going to just pray this prayer of invitation to walk with Jesus for anyone who has never said yes to him before. So all with me, please, after me. Say, Dear Father, I accept that I cannot live up to your perfect standard, and I turn away from my sin. I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I believe you forgive me and you make all things new. I surrender to you and I choose to take your path for my life. So please fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to live a life that honors you. Amen. Please just keep your heads bowed just for a moment. Keep your eyes closed. I believe there are people in this room today who have just made their peace with God. You have just become accepted by God by praying that simple prayer. And now God wants you to live in the freedom of his kingdom. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, would you just do one more thing so I can pray for you today? So I can pray that you will experience this newness of life that God has for you. Just would you do one more thing? Just raise your hand high in the air, quickly and purposefully. I've just said yes to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Keep your hand high in the air so I can see you. Thank you. Praise God. Just think there's someone else. Yeah, okay, there is. Praise God. Awesome. Wonderful. I think there's at least three hands that I saw just now. So, okay, five. Wonderful. Praise God. Awesome. Okay. Hey, would you just stand with me this morning, please, church? I just want to pray for everybody today and then I'll hand back. Oh, God. Oh, should we just close our eyes and should we just look at Jesus? I don't know what picture means the most to you today. Perhaps it's the eagle's wings. Perhaps it's the young eagle just coming under the wing of the golden eagle. Perhaps it's the picture of the woman that was caught in adultery, just throwing herself at the feet of Jesus and just sitting at his feet and learning from him. Perhaps the picture that means most to you today is the one of the lost son coming back to the Father. And the Father is standing there and he just wraps you in his arms. It says in that passage, and he kissed his son all over his neck. I just love that picture. Perhaps it's the picture of the ox, the Jesus as the strong, mature ox plowing the field. And he says, come on, come and join me. Let me show you how this is done. Let me help you. But all of those pictures are pictures of grace. And why don't we just lift up our hands to God if you feel comfortable to do that. And even if you don't, maybe today you just need to lift your hands to God and say, Lord, I want to throw myself into your arms of grace. I want to throw myself into your arms of grace. Thank you, God, that you don't reject me, you accept me because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're my strength. Thank you, Lord, as I come to you today, Lord, I determine that I am going to walk with you. I'm going to fly with you. I am not going to do things my way or try harder anymore. I'm just going to throw myself into your arms, and I'm going to be led by you into the freedom that you have for me. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Shall I hand back? Okay, here comes Paula. Let's welcome Paula.
So thank you, Pastor Shu. That was absolutely fantastic. We're so grateful to have the Paines back in the house. So church, we just want to encourage you, have the most amazing week. Go with the word of the Lord in your heart and let him continue what he has started in you. God bless you all, and we will see you next Sunday.